It's Tom and Loggy's daily podcast.
Tom and Log.
Catch them live weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on K-Rock 955.
We're going to Sudan for this one, mate, this story. And appropriate that you should go, because then we're going to leave Sudan and then come back to Sudan.
What?
Capital city of Khartoum. A flight has departed the airport there bound for Doha in Qatar.
Yeah.
And an incident has occurred half an hour into the flight. So it's had to make an emergency landing.
Oh. Do you know what sucks, if I can just interject super quickly?
What?
There's not a lot of flights going around at the moment. So every little thing that happens, or maybe the 10 flights that are happening worldwide a day, extra news coverage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I wonder if this is something that's newsworthy or not. Man, I'm looking forward to finding out.
Man complains about child kicking seat.
Yeah.
So this has taken off in Khartoum, headed for Qatar, and has had to turn around half an hour into the flight and go back to Khartoum Airport.
That sucks.
The pilot has been attacked.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, pretty full on. Pretty scary. So what's happened is a cat has entered the cockpit and just ripped into the pilot. Claws out.
What?
Meow, just scratched his face off.
Hang on. What? Mm. What?
So just to recap.
Okay.
A flight has left the capital of Sudan, Khartoum.
Yeah.
Half an hour into it, an incident's occurred where it's had to turn around and return to the same airport instead of continuing on to Doha in Qatar where it was supposed to land.
Yeah.
The incident was the pilot was attacked. The attacker was a cat.
Okay. I don't understand still.
It may surprise you that the cat wasn't a passenger
okay.
with a boarding pass and just got, I don't know, fed up with maybe the pilot was just too chatty.
Yeah.
Don't
need to know how many thousand miles
honestly, and what the winds are doing, I don't care.
Just get us there.
Tell me when we're going to get there and then get us there at that time. That's your job.
Do you think that they went on the plane themselves or were brought on by someone and escaped?
Funny you should ask that. Apparently, an investigation by the airline found the cat had climbed inside the aircraft while it was being cleaned or checked while parked in a hangar.
Aww.
It's not known what happened to the cat or if it had an owner. I'm going to assume that it didn't have an owner and it was just a cat just out there living its best life and thought, hey, international travel, let's get on board, literally. Also, what happened to the cat? Well, I've got a fair guess
no.
of what's happened to the cat. Yeah, I can probably guess.
I assume that they dropped it off and said, please, be on your way now.
Mm.
And it was all happy. And it ran into the airspace, but like away into the forest area that surrounds an airspace.
100% it got into the airspace. I don't reckon
it
was at ground level though, just quietly.
No. Tom and Log. Tom and Loggy's podcast, K-Rock 955.
We're catching up with Paul Cashmere. He is a musical journo who's been in the biz for what? What did I say?
When you say he's a musical journo, it's not like he's not like.
And oh, sorry.
Scott Morrison said today, oh, yeah, we're going to pay some more JobKeeper for you.
I'm sorry.
He's a music journo. As opposed to a musical journo. I just can't imagine him like a one-man band.
Do you know what? That would be fabulous. I say we've been given the news in a certain way for years, and yes, it works, but maybe Beck and Adam, maybe they would like to get behind that.
Maybe they could jazz it up a little bit.
Yeah, give us the news in a little bit of a musical fashion.
It's kind of lyrical headlines, but the reverse.
Miss the show? Here are the best bits of Tom and Log.
Tom and Log.
On K-Rock.
Sad passing yesterday. News shocked Australia, particularly the music industry.
Yeah.
Passing of Michael Gudinski. Apparently it happened in his sleep and was quite peaceful, but it definitely was sudden. He was only 68, which is very, very young. We thought we'd chat to someone who's known him for many a year, many a moon, but not too many years.
What are you saying there, Tom?
No, that's what I'm not saying. Paul Cashmere, Australian music journo, joins us now. Good morning, Paul.
Oh, good morning, Tom. You're just trying to get to say how old I am, aren't you?
No, not at all. No. Just experience.
I wasn't as old as Michael.
Good. Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, so, but you have known him for, you were telling me off air, for about 45 years.
Well, I first moved down to Melbourne in 1981, free on FM. And, you know, Michael, Molly, all those people that were around at that point, Lee Simon was running the radio station that I came down for, Eon FM, back then. And, you know, these are all legends in the music industry. And, you know, it's sort of a passing of the torch when you find out that one of them is no longer with us, and Michael in particular, who is such a juggernaut in the music industry. I think he turned it into a little boutique fish and chip shop type business into this mega industry within Australia that is responsible for tourism. And just you think about the amount of money, not just in the music industry, but in tourism, and you're going to experience that in a couple of weeks down in Geelong when Midnight Oil play down there. That's a Nadinsky event. You know, that's going to bring people from all around the state, all around the country down to Geelong. That means restaurants are going to benefit. It means hotels and you know, accommodation, and you know, but just something as simple as that, a one-off date for Midnight Oil playing in Geelong. Think about the impact of that on the Geelong economy, the Australian economy, and it's all due to one person, Michael Yudinski.
Yeah. And look, our condolences for your friend. It is very sad. A lot of people on Twitter worldwide sending through their condolences, including some pretty big names like Bruce Springsteen and Ed Sheeran. He just really touched the lives of a lot of people, didn't he?
Michael was a true music man, and you know, like I've been around for a long, long time, as you know, and seen a lot of changes in the music industry, and it scares me the sort of people that are coming up through the industry these days. You get people coming out of corporations to run record companies, and they've got no love or concern for the actual music as long as it is a product. You know, if they can sign an artist because they can turn that artist into a Big Mac, then they're happy to, you know, do that sort of thing. And we're seeing a lot of that in the music industry these days. That's why, you know, like I used to laugh at my father when he said, oh, that music you listen to is really crap. But I can tell you a lot of the stuff that's coming out is crap for a reason, and it's crap for a reason. That reason is because it's manufactured, it's conveyor belt style made, it's made in a studio. It's almost like laboratory type fast food music.
Works a formula kind of thing. Yeah. And so he was the kind of anti to that, wasn't he? And quite the whirlwind of a guy too, in terms of his energy.
He could look at an artist and see the future of that artist. He signed Split Enz, and they had three flop albums before they had a big album. He signed Paul Kelly, who, after that first Paul Kelly album, he should have been dropped from a record label. He would have been dropped from a record label had he been signed today. But Gudinski would see that, you know, this artist has talent, but that talent needs time to nurture. And I think that was the talent of Michael Gudinski. He could see into the future. Michael could visualize something, and then he could create it. And that was the beauty of the man.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that you know, through this time, you're reliving a lot of the experiences that you had with him. Is there any that spring to mind that are one of your favorite instances with Michael?
Well, geez, it goes way back. When we first arrived down in Melbourne, it was around the time of the 10th anniversary of Mushroom Records, and they had a concert at the Maya Music Bowl, and I think there's even a DVD that's been released from that, the Mushroom 10th anniversary concert. And Tom, you know Tim.
Yes,
my son, who was in my very pregnant wife at the time. It must have taken place just weeks before Tim was born. You know, so looking back at that, you know, that can show me the longevity. So I can personify the face of Mushroom Records in just looking into my son.
Is so special.
It explains a lot that Tim was in the womb, but at that concert.
That does explain him, doesn't it?
Hey, so just with Michael, I mean, it was an amazing journey. Where do you think, before we let you go, where do you think the Australian music industry would be without a guy like him?
Well, he made us international.
Mm.
He had the ability to look at what was happening here, just in different cities. Like at the time that Mushroom started, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth all had their own top 40s, all had their own individual hits, and Michael nationalized that. You know, like he was behind the scenes of when Countdown was starting, creating artists for that show, like creating the visual for the artists for that show, like Skyhooks in particular, who were a very visual band, but you put them on a national television show and suddenly that just takes off around the country.
Mm.
Taking something that could have just been, because Michael started out washing people's cars, and he used to rent out his dad's front yard in Caulfield on weekends for when people would come to the Caulfield races. You know, as a 16-year-old, he knew how to make money as a 16-year-old. So, you know, it was no surprise that he went on to create, one of the biggest touring companies in the world.
Wow.
It's just huge, and it's such a loss. Yeah.
It is, yeah. Touch the lives of so many. Paul, thanks so much for your time this morning. We can find all your work around at the Noise Network, Noise 11.
Noise11.com, and yes, I'll go back to my musical journoing.
Yes, that's right. I thought you might sing.
I'm so sorry about that. Paul, I didn't realise that you were listening when I mentioned you as a musical journalist. Maybe something for the future, you know? Mix it up.
Oh, look, I've got a band behind me. They'll play me out for the break.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Thank you.
Tom and Logan. Tom and Loggie's podcast. K-Rock 955. The Australian music industry is in shock and mourning after news broke of the death of Mushroom Music founder, entrepreneur and industry icon, Michael Gudinski.
Australian music industry legend Michael Gudinski has died aged 68.
Music was in Michael's blood from a young age, when he would promote school dances around Melbourne while he was just a teenager.
It's just the connection that is so important.
As the dances became profitable, he left school to run them full time. Soon after, he formed Mushroom Records and went on to sign the biggest names in Australian music. Skyhooks. Kylie Minogue. Split Ends. Hunters and Collectors. Jimmy Barnes. And was a huge advocate for new Aussie talent.
That tone tonight, new song's just amazing.
Ever the entrepreneur, he also formed Frontier Touring and Premier Artists, bringing international artists to Australia. Ed Sheeran, Bruce Springsteen, The Eagles, Celine Dion, Foo Fighters, Kiss, Madonna, and dozens, probably hundreds more, toured here because of Michael Gudinski. During the COVID pandemic, he was a champion for the struggling industry and artists, and instrumental in getting live shows back. He has been recognised for his huge contribution to the Australian music industry with many awards, including an ARIA for Special Achievement in 1992, the inaugural ARIA Industry Icon Award in 2013, induction into the Music Victoria Hall of Fame, and in 2006 was made a member of the Order of Australia.
I look forward to people loving it just as much as the artists.
We remember Michael Gudinski. I've never done the same. The heart and soul of the Australian music industry.
Tom and Logan. Tom and Loggie's podcast. K-Rock 955.
So, yeah, Mum's last day. She was here for the weekend for my birthday, and she flew out yesterday afternoon. But Kalia and her and Indy came into town yesterday morning.
Mm.
And I popped out to see them and had to come back to work and then, you know, caught up with him again at home. But so Indy's like about to turn, in like 3 weeks, will turn two.
Wow.
So that's escalated quickly.
Yeah.
But she's very good with her words and she's very chatty.
She's such a chatty.
Yeah.
Chatty gal.
And she's just really kind of leveling up every week.
Mm.
And to the point where, you know, her carers and stuff were educators at daycare and whatnot. Like, I can't believe how much she chats and how much she talks.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody she meets, everyone's like, wow, she's really talkative and good with her words and stuff. So that's great, right? But she's always been this sweet little kid, and she is just a gorgeous little girl, right?
Yeah. Proud dad.
Yesterday, though, I ran into them at Westfield, went and found them at Westfield to say g'day and have a little cuddle and before a meeting, and they had been to get a coffee. They went to launch on the bridge there.
Yes.
Grabbed a little cappuccino each, and she now is at the age where she gets a baby chino.
Ah, nice.
And she knows that when we go to the cafe, she gets marshmallows.
Oh, yep.
So she says, marshmallow, she wants, you know, so. Obviously, she's not that good with her words because she's calling a marshmallow when it's actually.
No, that's great. We get what she means.
It's cute. So they did that, and then I caught up with them. And just in conversation, I was like, did daddy missed out? Daddy went to the. Daddy, you went to the cafe and you had a coffee and you.
Yeah.
She apparently drank it all. Usually she just puts her hand straight in the baby chino. And
is baby chino just froth or is it milk?
Froth with the cocoa powder.
Oh, yeah.
And then she usually just smears that everywhere and doesn't really drink it and just eats the marshmallow. But she started now actually drinking the foam, eating the foam.
Mm.
So I was, oh, you drink all your coffee and you had a big marshmallow and daddy missed out. Yeah, daddy. And, you know, Carly or mum both going, oh, yeah, daddy missed out or whatever. And Indy looks at me and goes, ha, suck it.
What? Yes, she did.
I was like,
yes, she did.
And we all just went, don't react.
Did she just look you dead in the eyes and was she like, suck it and just looked?
No, she laughed. She's like, ha, ha, suck it.
And then after that, was she waiting for your response? Did she turn away? Like, deal with that, Dad?
Yeah, she was just like, kept on with her day, kept looking around. It's like, oh, my God, what's happened to my child? Where has she gone? Where's this beautiful little girl gone? Telling me to suck it.
And where do you think she might have got
that? Don't know.
Do you have any idea?
No idea.
I can see something. I don't know.
Wait, it gets worse. Later in the day, we're playing, I don't know, I was swinging around, you know, holding her upside down and she laughs and plays all that kind of stuff in the kitchen. And then she shoved her hand down my top. And she likes to grab my nipple piercing and twist it, which is not fun for me. So she did that. She read anything and grabbed that and wrenched it and then goes, that's a big booby. That's a big booby.
Once again, any idea where she might have
and
got
I'm,
this?
I'm like, oh, you know I have a thing about moobs. I know I've got moobs. I know what I am, but you don't have to point it out.
I'm sensing a bit of the apple not falling far from the tree behaviour.
I don't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about. I just want to know where my darling child's gone. Dom and Logan. K-Rock.